thank you for listening to another Hastings NAS podcast. We are so pleased that you have shown interest in listening to this podcast, and we pray that it is edifying and beneficial for you. You can watch us live every Sunday morning on Facebook, facebook.com/HastingsNAS. And if you are so inclined, you can support the ministries of the church by going to hastingsnas.org/give. Hope you enjoy this sermon. Grace and peace.
We have just a short series that we're going to focus on for just two Sundays, emphasizing our fellowship groups. And I want you to listen to the words that St. Luke wrote about the early church. The book of Acts is the story of the early church. The gospel writer Luke composed this book as well to tell us what the church was like then. So listen to these words, starting at verse 41. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the world. Thanks be to God indeed. Well, church, it's a good day. I'm glad to be able to celebrate what God is doing in the life of our church. But I want to start with a question, just so you know, this is not rhetorical. This is an open question. You can answer it, all right? What's something you do every day? Whoa, there was a lot of answers. Breathe. I'd hope so, yes? Drink, thanks be to God, drink coffee. I don't know that you can function. What do you do every day? Do you brush your teeth? I hope you brush your teeth every day. Eat food, right? We eat every day. Drive. Yeah, we get in the car. Sleep. Oh, Ben, that's a good one. Ben said shower. I'm glad that we shower every day, or at least pretty close to every day, right? Yeah, good, good. What do you watch every day? Kids. There you go. Yeah, I think that was a grandma back there. Millions of people are watching the same programs every day. Let me start the service with a little pastoral. Is my mic not on? Yeah, I'm on. Can you hear me now? Okay. I want to start the message with a little bit of pastoral care for you right off the bat, okay? I want to help you take care of your soul today. If you want to care for your soul, I'm telling you right now, and I'm not even joking, turn off cable news. Don't watch it every day. It is bad for your soul, or for that matter, maybe even ever. That might be one of the most important spiritual practices you could do, is turn off the rage machine. Because the things you do frequently shape you. What you're watching every day is forming you. The habits and practices you do every day transform you. Hopefully there are some directed spiritual practices in there as well, things you do every day, maybe like taking time to pray and read the scriptures. Hopefully that's a part of it. But today we start a very short series, just two Sundays, and I hope you can be here for both of them. We're going to take two weeks to focus on discipleship here at Hastings NAS, or what we have called fellowship groups. Fellowship groups are our method of discipleship, and what we call these fellowship groups because of what we read in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That fellowship was an essential part of those first disciples' spiritual life. The apostles' teaching is the instruction and the application from scriptures. The breaking of the bread is the participation at the table. The prayers, they attended to the prayers, which is a participation in corporate worship. Being devoted to fellowship, though, what is that? Being devoted to fellowship. What is fellowship according to St. Luke? According to the book of Acts. Oh, I think it means we have to go to children's church. You know, you're right. Tom and Patty are going. Kids up to fifth grade are dismissed. Thank you for interrupting me with that. Yeah, it is a discipleship thing. Yeah, thank you. Kids up to fifth grade can head right behind the sanctuary. I was so excited, guys. Yeah, I think I deleted it from my order of service. That's what happened. That's great. What is fellowship according to the book of Acts? Sometimes we talk about fellowship in the church. We mean something like eating meals together, right? We're going to have a potluck after church. That's fellowship, right? Oh, that's certainly a part of it. You better believe it. Sometimes we, when we talk about fellowship, we mean something like catching up with one another. Right? Like, oh, we're gonna go talk. We're going to have conversations with one another. And that's part of it. I'm not diminishing that, but I want to say that that's maybe not the whole of it. Sharing a meal together does not necessarily mean it's fellowship. Having a conversation with someone is not necessarily fellowship. You see, the word for fellowship here is one that maybe you're familiar with. Koinonia. Koinonia is the word for fellowship in the original language, in Greek. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and koinonia. Koinonia is a word to describe someone's participation in something. That's what koinonia means. It is their share in something. If you have a share in something, it is koinonia. It's an investment in it. It can be used to describe an intimate involvement in something. I am thoroughly engaged in this. Where do you have koinonia? Where are you thoroughly invested? Where are you participating fully in something? That's koinonia. They devoted themselves to being committed to one another. And that's why we have what we call fellowship groups. Because we want to be committed to one another. And because that is how we get a sense of where God is at work in our lives and in our world. Because, church, I'm telling you, in fellowship, God shows up. When there is fellowship, God shows up. The purpose of koinonia, the purpose of fellowship with one another, is to have an encounter with the divine. We see this in verse 43. The text says that everyone was in awe. Verse 43, everyone was in awe because of the wonders and signs God did through the apostles. When was the last time you were filled with awe? Or had an amazing sense of wonder at what God was doing? Those first disciples were in awe of what God was doing through the apostles. Now, when you hear signs and wonders, what comes to mind? I don't know about you, but when I hear of signs and wonders, I sometimes think of something that's supernatural, the miraculous, something inexplicable. Now, I think these signs and wonders are supernatural and they are miraculous, but maybe they should be reframed a little bit. You see, sometimes when we think of the supernatural or the miraculous, we think of something otherworldly, something almost magical, right? Something, maybe we think of something that used to happen a long time ago, or maybe something that happens in the developing world, but for us, not so much. The signs and wonders of God. I think this text reveals that God's supernatural work is not magical or otherworldly, but I want to make the argument today that God's supernatural work is quite down to earth. There's something mystical about it for sure, but it might not just be something that's out there or something from long ago. Because the text says that that signs and wonders were being performed by the apostles. What's a sign? Where do you use a sign in your life? On the road, how frequently do you say, man, what a beautiful, beautiful sign, that green sign that says North Broadway? Oh, that's beautiful. I love that color green. Oh, that stop sign. Oh, it's an octagon. Oh, man, isn't it an octagon? I had to second guess myself. I was like, maybe it's a hexagon. But it's got those sides and those angles, and it's red with a white stripe around it. How many of you just love to gawk at signs? What's the purpose of a sign? It tells you where something else is. It points you in a direction. Signs and wonders. What is a wonder? What is the purpose of being full of wonder? Well, you're full of wonder by the revelation of God. The signs and wonders weren't about anything crazy that happened in that moment, even the speaking of foreign languages, which did happen in this chapter we read about earlier. That wasn't the point. That wasn't the thing. Signs and wonders aren't the thing. Signs and wonders are something that point people to the thing, or rather to the person. Signs and wonders aren't the point. Who they point us to are. So we may ask, why don't we see signs and wonders anymore? We may ask, why aren't we filled with awe at what God is doing in the world anymore? And I think the answer is quite simple. I don't think there's anything magical about how God used to work and isn't working anymore. I think if we read the before and the after of this text, before and after verse 43, look what precedes and look what follows about what led to these first disciples being filled with awe. Well, in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the table, to worship. And then in the verses that follow it, all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods to distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. That's why they were filled with awe at the signs and wonders God was doing in their midst. Because they had fellowship with one another. Because they sacrificed for one another. Because they had koinonia. Because they were fully invested. They shared their life together. They had all things in common. If anyone in their community had a need, they would sell their own goods and give it to the common purse. And it would get distributed by the leadership to those who had need. That's why they were filled with awe. Koinonia. Fellowship. But there's something else that's mentioned twice in this text. Did you notice a phrase that appears twice? Day by day. They were in one another's homes. Day by day they were in the temple worshiping. Day by day. What's something you do every day? Those first disciples were daily eating together, sharing meals in one another's homes. Those first disciples were daily worshiping together, daily praising God together, daily sharing the goodwill of the community together, day by day. You see, discipleship wasn't something that they would squeeze into their busy lives between soccer practice and dance. Discipleship wasn't something they would squeeze into that one appointment and that other appointment. Disciple wasn't something that would fit into their busy lives. Discipleship was their life. Discipleship wasn't just something they put on the calendar. Discipleship is what set the agenda for the calendar. Being committed to one another day by day set their agenda. Day by day, they were committed to discipleship. You see, the signs and wonders that God did in this text aren't magical or so otherworldly or unreceivable. The people were filled with awe at what God was doing because they were committed to one another. That's it. Because when people share their life together, when people have the goodwill of one another, guess what happens? God shows up. God is there because Christ came to establish a community, or as we say, God came to establish a people. Christ came to establish a people who were committed to one another. I don't know if we want to hear this, but do you know how backwards that is? In our world, in our society, in the way in which our cities are shaped, are created, and the ways in which we are being told, in the ways that we're being formed by the world around us, do you know how alternative this is? And quite uncomfortable it is? We're being pulled and told to isolate. We're being divided and separated into our camps. And you better live in that camp, because if you go to the other camp, you're going to get lambasted. We're being told to not share our lives together. I'm telling you, the ways in which our cities and towns have been developed actually communicate an alternative to the shared life together. Some people really remember their college days as like the highlight of their life. This is not to make an argument that everybody needs to go to college, but for those who went to a four-year on-campus college, they often look back at it and say, man, it was beautiful, I loved it. It's a great community, it was beautiful. I think for some of us, reflecting on those days as being so formative in our lives is so nostalgic because if you think about the way a university is set up, the architecture of it, the layout of the campus, it's set up for community. You eat meals together every day. You live in different dorms, but you go to the same place to eat. You go to the same place if you go to like a Christian college for worship multiple times. I remember when I was at Olivet Nazarene University, there was this little chapel called Kelly Prayer Chapel. Kelly Prayer Chapel was a place I went to frequently with my friends. And we would pray. And we would sing. It was unorganized and disparate. But I think sometimes we reflect on those times of our lives with nostalgia because we had real community. But now we live in a world where I don't have to actually look at you. I don't have to look at you. I got my beautiful daughters on my phone, okay? And I got Twitter. We're being divided and separated through technology, through the ways in which our cities are laid out, and through the ways in which the talking heads talk to us. Our media is telling us to just live in your own world. Koinonia, church, is countercultural. It is an alternative way of being in this world because in Christ, through discipleship, through koinonia, we can have true unity. Through discipleship, through fellowship, we might just be in awe of what God is going to do in us and what God is going to do through us because signs and wonders are what happens when people live intentionally together. When people share their life together, God shows up. When people sacrifice for one another, God shows up. When we have fellowship together, God shows up. Or maybe a better way of putting it is, we see the God who's already there. And that's what makes it supernatural. Church, I want to tell a quick story about how this has been true for me and for my family. Before Kayla and I moved to Hastings, we were trying to conceive. We moved to Michigan and started our infertility journey. Some of you remember all of that. I remember one Sunday when I was up on this platform and Kayla found out she wasn't pregnant that morning. And I had to come to church and preach. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I said, church, would you pray for me? And I said, I feel like there's something I need to say. God is speaking to us, and I got to preach. I said, but I need your prayer. And then you did. Came a point where we were doing all of our fertility stuff, and it wasn't working, and we knew we had to do in vitro fertilization, IVF. You know that it's expensive, and it's not covered by insurance. So we pursued IVF. And this church paid for it. This church said, we're going to support you in that. And there were some of you who said, hey, if the first round doesn't work, we're doing it again. Don't let the cost of it be the obstacle. And the first round failed. And the church said, we got you. We are in awe of the signs and wonders that God is doing when people sacrifice for one another, when people share their lives together. You want to know what the miraculous is? The miraculous is that I have two daughters because the people of God came together. Church, I'm still in awe at the signs and wonders that God is doing. And I don't know how all this happens other than that the Spirit of God has been at work, but when we first started talking about bringing Bikram on board on staff to be a full-time, full-salary pastor, we said, well, we love that idea. How on earth are we going to do it? We're a small church with a small budget. We live in a mostly economically depressed area relative to the communities around us. We want to do that, but how can we afford that? How's Bikram going to live? What's housing going to look like? I don't know about you. Have you paid attention to housing recently in Hastings? If you can find anything, one, good luck finding anything, and two, if you do, it's going to be very expensive. So for us to find a way for Bikram and Ruby to live that was going to be sustainable for them and something that would allow them to not live in abject poverty, we began to pray. We began to work together. I'm in awe at the signs and wonders that God is doing because, church, a few months ago I was talking with the priest at Emmanuel Episcopal, Mother Linnea, whom I love. She just retired. She was here for about 5.5 years. We established a good relationship, and we were talking about all of this, and I said, Linnea, is there something that Emmanuel would like to be connected with in this? Seems like it fits who you are and what God is doing through you. So we talked, and she said, well, I'm leaving. So it's up to the church, but I'm leaving. I'm retiring. And she said, I'm out at the end of August. She said, so maybe we talk to the board, what they call their vestry. Maybe we talk to them about having Bikram and Ruby stay in our parsonage. Maybe we have them live in our house that we own for a while. Church, we were sharing in the work of the good news of Jesus Christ together. And now Bikram and Ruby are living in downtown Hastings. I don't know the address, but it's right behind Emmanuel Episcopal because our churches are collaborating together. And they said, yeah, Bikram, come stay in our house. It helps them to have the house occupied rather than vacant, sure. But it's also a service. We weren't sure, what are we going to do? How are we going to find a place for them to live? They devoted themselves. They were committed to the goodwill of all. It's not just for me personally and you personally. It's for the church, capital C. You do know we're not in competition with each other. I am in awe, and I hope you are too, at what God has done. See, a sign and a wonder points us to who Christ is. It's about the revelation of Christ in our lives and in our world and in our community. I hope that you can see the revelation of God in this, and that there's something supernatural taking place. Not that it's magical, it's that when people come together for the goodwill of all, when they sacrifice together, God shows up. And God still shows up. So we have fellowship with one another. And we, Hastings Naz, have fellowship with the other churches in our community. And as we work together, guess what happens? We can see God. God shows up. So to be a part of this church, to be a part of Hastings Church of the Nazarene, is to share in fellowship. Fellowship with other churches. But also fellowship with one another. I've heard it said, and I agree, that a relationship with Christ is always personal, but never private. It's never just me and Jesus. It's always me and Jesus and you and you and you and you and you. To be a part of what God is doing through this community of faith is to share in koinonia. It's who we are. It's who we are, and I hope that you'll take time either this Sunday or next to commit yourself to a fellowship group by signing up in the foyer, by committing to a people, a group that is committed to having the goodwill of all. A fellowship group is a group that is committed to one another. And I promise you, as we share our lives together, we will see God at work in us and through us and in our world. Church, this is the good news of Jesus Christ for us today. Thanks be to God. as we come to the table this morning, we're gonna take time confessing. We're going to begin by confessing that which we believe in the Apostles' Creed. The words will be up on the screen. But as we come to the table, I hope that we can see that there is koinonia here. There's fellowship here. There's fully invested participation here. Because Christ did not have partial unity with us. Christ did not have a limited fellowship with humanity. No, in the person of Jesus Christ, there is full fellowship between the divine and the human. And we come to the table so that we might have fellowship with God through our fellowship with one another. So as you come to the table, be reminded that as you take the bread and dip it in the cup and consume, that you are sharing in Christ's fellowship, that you have fellowship with Christ today. And that is good news. That is good news that we can have fellowship with God through the table.